This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Hundreds of thousands of people brought to the U.S. as children are now in limbo after Donald Trump announced the end of DACA. The Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program gave young people temporary reprieve from deportation and permission to work, study, and obtain driver's licenses, but it did not provide legal status. North Carolina's home to about 27,000 DACA recipients who've been going to school and working in this state. Supporters of DACA argue that ending the program is going to cause social upheaval and cost this state billions of dollars. U.S. Senators Tom Tillis and Richard Burr, both Republicans, say that immigration policy should be set through legislation, and the future of DACA should be decided by Congress as part of a comprehensive immigration reform plan. Joining us now is Tina Vasquez. She's a Triad-based immigration reporter for the nonprofit online publication Rewire. Tina, welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you for having me.
You have been talking with DACA recipients around the state. What kind of response are you hearing so far?
It's a range. You know, for some folks, obviously, it's been devastating. The reason why they can attend college is because they have the jobs that they do. Even if you have DACA in the state of North Carolina, you still have to pay out-of-state tuition. So even for a lot of documented young people, college has been out of the question. But because of DACA, they've been able to get better-paying jobs with benefits. And so this has kind of uprooted their entire future. Other young people have expressed to me that this has just changed everything for them on a scale that maybe American citizens don't think about, just small day-to-day things like being able to drive without the fear of detainment and deportation, being able to travel within the United States, having the proper paperwork, those kinds of things that we don't really think about.
You talked about getting better jobs, going to school, being able to pursue an education. DACA does not confer legal status, so you're not technically here legally any more than you were before DACA. How does that change things, and how does it make it easier for DACA recipients to get a better job and to think about pursuing an education?
Well, so what DACA did was it provided people with work authorization. It is illegal to work in the United States if you are here without authorization. And so for a lot of these young people, getting a social security number and a work permit was life-changing. And so, you know, in the matter of a few minutes, that was taken away from them. So now they have little recourse, it looks like. There have been some lawsuits that are being threatened. There's been one lawsuit that's been filed. But it just looks like there's no other avenues for them should this be taken away. And I think NBC is reporting that the Trump administration is basically instructing these young people to self-deport or to prepare to leave the country.
Yeah, the Trump administration is also saying that the president tweeted today that he would reconsider his decision if Congress doesn't act. So very, very mixed signals again from the White House. Hard to know how they're going to pursue this and what their policy is. But confusion certainly on the ground for the DACA recipients. Talk more about the impact. You talked about not being able to drive, you know, driving now without the fear of being pulled over. Many DACA recipients come from families who, again, their parents may not have status. So what had they been doing for the family? How does this affect them and what they had been doing for their families?
Sure. I mean, a lot of DACA recipients are in what's called mixed status families. So that means that they may have DACA, but they have siblings who are American citizens, but their parents are undocumented. And so in North Carolina in particular, there are several jurisdictions that participate in the 287G program, which basically allows police officers to act as federal immigration agents. So any interaction that an undocumented person has with a police officer in one of these jurisdictions can lead to their deportation. There have even been instances of undocumented people getting pulled over for a broken taillight, and they get sent to prison and then transferred to ICE custody, and that's the end of the line for them. And so these young people who have DACA, just having a driver's license, one young man that I spoke to in North Carolina, he mentioned that you know, his parents were fearful of driving his siblings to school who are American citizens. And so now that's a role that he's been able to take on as a person who has a driver's license because of DACA. Or when they visit family out of state in states that have maybe even harsher anti-immigrant laws or more jurisdictions that participate in immigration enforcement. And so it's just these small things that they were able to do that now they have no one in their family that can do these things for them because these kids are now essentially completely undocumented and without any sort of status.
As you said, so much confusion and so many mixed messages coming from the Trump White House. But if there is a message that you should self-deport, any indication that, some DACA recipients are getting ready to go back or getting ready to go to their countries of origin?
I think the goal with administrations like this is to make conditions in the United States so inhospitable that people feel forced to leave, or they feel like going back to places like El Salvador, where they fled for their lives, might be a better option for them if they're going to live in the United States with targets on their back. I've not spoken to any DACA recipients that are considering that. That would be a valid option for them if they chose to do that. But I don't think the Trump administration anticipated the fight that they're going to get. I mean, this is a group of people who have fought for everything. They even fought for DACA. I mean, there's this misconception that DACA was just sort of given to these young people by President Obama. But when comprehensive immigration reform failed to happen, when the DREAM Act failed to happen, they did sit-ins and protests nationwide and demanded some sort of administrative relief. And that's how DACA came about. So I don't, these young people aren't going to go silently. A young woman told me that they're not crawling back into the shadows, that they're going to fight every step of the way, and not just for them, not just for DACA or similar legislation, but for the 11 million undocumented people that are in this country, including their parents and their families and their friends.
DACA recipients around the country are grappling with this latest news of what it will mean for their future. And one of those people is Alberto. He is a 26-year-old DACA recipient living in Durham, currently works as an applications engineer for a North Carolina tech company, and is planning to start a PhD program at Dartmouth. Alberto, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us a bit about you first obtained DACA in 2012. Can you tell us how the program has affected your family so far?
Yeah, absolutely. DACA was really, it started a new phase in my life in terms of the opportunities that it opened up. So one of the things is just the fact of being able to drive and not have fear that, you know, you don't have a valid driver's license. And then the other one is just really the internship and job opportunities that opened up, because I was an excellent candidate for jobs and for internships, but based on the fact that I didn't have a work permit, it basically was just a non-starter for those companies and for those kind of research fellowships. So it really kind of just changed the way that I was able to navigate through the world in the United States.
And obviously led to the potential for you, a PhD program at Dartmouth that you're headed to. So what is this? What does the president's announcement mean for you?
I mean, so to be honest, I've always been living kind of my life in very small bursts in terms of planning. You kind of have long-term plans, but just based on, even with DACA, you know, the renewal was a two-year period. So it's always been kind of living life in two-year periods. So I recently got my renewal for 2 years, and so I was going to live, you know, the next 2 years, knowing that I have the work authorization. And you know, I'm still a person. I'm still a scientist. I'm still, you know, a brother. I'm still a volunteer. So, I mean, I'm still an individual, so that continues. But I think overall, the thing that hurt the most about the announcement was just the kind of falsehoods that the Jeff Sessions, you know, the Attorney General of the United States and the head of the United the U.S. Department of Justice, just the falsehoods that he was sharing, saying that, you know, that DACA provided legal status for recipients, that DACA provided executive amnesty, basically a pardon, which is, none of that is true. So I think just the extent to what the Trump administration was willing to go to convince people that they should end this program and tell lies in the way, I think that was what was the most shocking for me, at least during the announcement.
What about you talked about, too, the uncertainty in all of this. And, of course, they've already created this environment, the Trump administration has, to make it a kind of hostile environment for people who are from other countries living in the United States of America. But why would you pursue, let's say, a PhD at Dartmouth, knowing that even under DACA, things were uncertain? You're living sort of 2 years at a time.
It's really about pursuing your dreams and really doing what you want. I'm scheduled to start research on medical imaging for, like, cancer screening. And, you know, I'm passionate about education. I'm passionate about being an educator. And that's where I want my life to go. And that's what I'm going to keep pursuing. And that has to keep being my plan while fighting for, comprehensive immigration reform, not only for DACA recipients, but for the rest. And, you know, my generation and DACA and immigrants in this country have been fighters, and we're going to continue to be fighters.
It's interesting. When we hear, we've heard some murmurings from congressional Republicans, Tom Tillis among them, saying that they would like to craft some kind of legislation. Tom Tillis, Republican from North Carolina, saying he would like whatever legislation it is to offer some pathway to citizenship with a rigorous set of standards involved. Do you have a sense that you might be able to work with members of Congress to craft some legislation that has so far been absent?
Absolutely. And there's this conversation about it being like that these 11 million immigrants are trying to take away things from the United States, a zero sum game, where in fact, not only do like DACA recipients lose from losing DACA and the work permits, but the United States as a whole, the United States economy, our community. So, I mean, when you work out the math, you know, 1 in 28 people are undocumented in the United States. On average, they've been here for 13 years. So we're really talking about having a massive amount of people in the United States that are basically just undocumented Americans. They're part of the community. They're part of all this. So I think it makes sense for everybody to work towards comprehensive immigration reform, no matter of what party you're aligned to.
Alberto is a 26-year-old DACA recipient and a Durham resident, works as an applications engineer for a North Carolina tech company. Alberto, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tina Vasquez is a Triad-based immigration reporter for Rewire, a nonprofit daily online publication. Tina, thank you as well.
Thank you.
You can find links to Tina's reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we're going to hear the story of Willie Grimes. He spent 24 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. We'll talk about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.